Good morning, church family. How are we? Hey, can every single person in this room just encourage George really quick? That baptism. That guy has a new life in Jesus. And when I got to give him a hug, I could just feel that he is receiving the true gift of grace and mercy that Jesus offers every single one of us. Now we can have all of the self-help we want, right? But apart from his love, his grace, and his mercy like George received today, man, we're nothing. Apart from Jesus, we are nothing. And that's what we're going to chat about today as we talk about sharing our faith effectively. Effectively, right? So we're going to have some tips and tricks and tools, and ultimately, it comes by the demonstration of God's transforming, powerful grace like we just saw in George's life. Right? Imagine somebody like a George. Imagine some of the people that have been baptized recently running out of here with their t-shirt sopping wet, telling all of the Clark's Pond area, all of South Portland, Jesus is Lord. And imagine some of us that have been doing this for years and years and years and saying, church is pretty good. Just check it out. Right? There's power in that transforming grace and gospel that we see alive in people's hearts, and we want to celebrate with them. Well, maybe they'll help us catch fire. Maybe what they're experiencing in this radical love from heaven, this personal relationship with Jesus, the word of God made alive in George's life, maybe that's what needs to ignite our hearts collectively. Amen? And so this morning, if you're tuning in online, so glad that you're tuning in with us. Our friends at Cumberland County Jail, we love you. There's hope in Jesus' name. You heard it here, right? We're so glad. So glad to have you a part of our community. And I also want to invite you all. Everybody here is invited. I'm giving you a personal invite this morning to the prayer and worship night we're going to have this coming Tuesday night at 6 p.m. We want to pack the student lounge to the point that we're overflowing. So you're all invited. Imagine all of us trying to get in the student lounge. If you've never been back there, it won't happen. But we could try, right? So one of our worship leaders is going to be in there leading us along with Kurt into a night of just seeking the Lord's face, just bringing our hearts before God and actually interceding, actually praying for Greater Portland to come to know the grace and the mercy and the power of Jesus' gospel. So I dare you to show up. And as Kurt would say, if you don't want to come, don't. We want the willing to gather. We want the hearts that are ready to encounter Jesus' presence. We want people to come hungry for the presence of God. And so Tuesday night, that's going to be the prayer and worship night. And so we'll see you there, 6 p.m. in the student lounge. And today, as I was unpacking and studying through the text this past week, I realized I think it's important for us to really unpack as we head through the summer what we're all about, right? The whole idea of sharing our faith effectively with others is the essence of the mission that this church was born out of 20 years ago. And look at the result. There's people all around us, hundreds of people a year baptized in Jesus' name because we have people being faithful with the gospel here in Greater Portland, sharing the very relationship and person that they've met in Jesus. And so we have this vision that we feel like God's given us here at East Point. And this isn't just East Point's vision. This should be the vision of the church at large in the region, that we want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ transform the hearts of those around us. We want to see gospel transformation for Greater Portland. Right? We can help do some small service projects. We can inject financial resources to help lift people out of poverty or out of brokenness. But ultimately, it's the gospel that transforms lives. It's the gospel. It's the power of God to save, being at work in us. That's what transforms a region. That's what brings God's shalom to Greater Portland. That's what brings peace, hope, righteousness, joy. It's his presence. It's his gospel. Right? So it sounds like this big, intimidating thing, like the whole region transformed by the gospel. What does that mean? Well, let's just start one person at a time. Let's start with your family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people across town, or maybe the people across the tracks, one person at a time. the person that God puts in your lap in that very moment. And what do we do? What do we do with those people? Do we give them a little pre-printed invite to church at 9 and 11 on Sunday mornings? Or do we share the power of the gospel in our lives with them? This is the good news of Jesus that's transformed my life. I've met him. I'm walking with him. My life is changing day by day. I'm meeting with him. I'm hearing from him. His word is coming alive. You've got to meet him. You've got to meet him. And so our mission is the vehicle that leads us towards this vision coming to a reality in Greater Portland. And our mission is played out just not by George being in the baptistry, but by Josh being next to him in the baptistry. That Josh is helping George understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And Josh has a call in his life, just like everybody else in this room, that we are to make disciples of Jesus who share him with others. Follow me as I follow Jesus, right? We can play on the 12-step AA analogy like we did last week, right? That we're actually not receiving the help unless we're giving it away. We're not living into the vision that Jesus has for us if we're not actively out there engaging people, inviting them into the same saving faith and hope in Jesus that we've found. That we make disciples of Jesus who share them with others. And disciples, they're not fans, right? They're not just sitting on the sideline like cheering Jesus on like at the Patriots game, right? Jesus isn't out there throwing touchdowns and we're in the bleachers two rows back. He invites us to get in the game. Who here wants to catch a touchdown pass from Jesus, right? Like, we want to be in the game with him, don't we? We want to see him pass us somebody in our life that we actually walk toward the kingdom. Fans, they just sit on the sideline and hold up the signs, right? Jesus is saying, get in the game. Get in the game, make disciples. And we'll look at the Great Commission that he has in Matthew 28. But ultimately, if you're here today, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, that's you're calling yourself a disciple, a mentee, an apprentice, a practicer of the way of Jesus. And every morning, I have to ask myself this question. How am I doing? Am I a fan or am I a follower? Am I a consumer? Or am I a practicer? Right? Am I actually putting the things of Jesus into my life as daily, weekly, monthly rhythms? And am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. Just ask my wife. Not at all. But I'm going to invite people to follow me as I follow Jesus. And how about you? Is that a worthwhile pursuit? Because only when we take that mission up, when we collectively leave this place week after week and say, man, I got a burden in me to make disciples. I got a burden in me to show people the way. I got a burden with it. And then God brings somebody to the water cooler on Monday morning and you say, hey, how was the weekend? Oh, what did I do? Oh, I went to church with my family. You see, my wife and I, we've come to find life and life abundant in this relationship with Jesus, right? Or do we stop and say, well, at least the Celtics, at least they don't have to face the Nuggets, right? Like, right, so often we try to avert this thing and Jesus is saying, here's the person, share me with them. Guess what, they're dying to know him. And that's not a joke, they're dying to know him. So are we going to be faithful with this hope we have? And disciples, we here at East Point have kind of distilled four values that we've talked about for years now, four values that not only are values that we uphold, but they're marks of disciples, right? That we actually know him. We know God, that we know Jesus, that we have relationship with Jesus. We don't know just about him, but we know him. And he's growing himself within us, that we have this relationship with him, this active, ongoing pursuit of him through the word and through prayer. It's like two pedals on a bicycle. We can't abide without one or the other. We need to be in the word and praying and consuming and receiving from him. And that we find freedom. That we actually find freedom from the things that hold us hostage. The anxiety, the depression, the sin, all these things that keep us from living flourishing lives in Jesus. He has freedom for you. And freedom can look a lot of different ways, but let's just start with praying with one another. Let's start with confessing our sin to one another. Let's start with repenting from the things that we know hold ourselves back, because if we don't, we won't find freedom. How many of us know this dying, watching world, doesn't just need another artificial thing to do. They want the real thing. But when we find freedom, people take notice. When we're different, when we're marked differently than we were before, then we engage community, right? How many of us love this community called East Point Christian Church, right? How many of us just love gathering here? It's just so much fun, right? We can clap. Yay, right? It's good. We love this. This is amazing, especially when Busy's leading worship and we're praying and we're before the throne room and Lucy's over here singing, thank you, Jesus, right? We just love the worship. We love to gather. We love the coffee. Well, we might not love the coffee, but the coffee's warm. And we love gathering here on the turf and just seeing this community that's alive and well. But it goes deeper than that. How many of us love the life group that we're a part of? How many of us have loved sharing life with those groups of people in living rooms, around dining room tables where we're weeping or we're rejoicing or we're gathering or we're praying for one another? It's when the funnel starts getting smaller and smaller and we start understanding this community is meant to know us and we're to be fully known, not hiding anything back, being vulnerable with each other. We can't do that in this gathering, but we can in these small groups. We can in these micro groups of discipleship. And I'm just painting this picture that Jesus, as we lean into him, is drawing us in more and more and more. And we go to the deep end of the pool to the point where our feet can't touch. And then we invite people to join us. We share our story with them. Meet the one that has changed my life. That we know God, that we find freedom, that we engage community, and that we share our story. We share with this world around us the hope, the peace, the joy, the life that we've found in Jesus. I think it's so important for us to wrap our minds around, why do we gather? Who are we? What are we doing here? We're here to see Greater Portland transformed by the gospel by making disciples of Jesus who share them with others. If you want to know why we're here, some of you are like, well, that's not what I signed up for. See you later. Right? That's okay. We exist to actually move the mission. We exist to see this region changed by the hope and the power of the good news of Jesus. And that was Jesus' vision as well. You know, I was going to share a text, but Graham took it during the generosity moment. But ultimately, the disciples, Jesus said, would be marked by a demonstration of his love, not just a knowledge of it, right? In John chapter 13, this is the text that Graham referenced, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Just look around in this auditorium. Look at the people, maybe a stranger, right? Jesus says, love them as he loved you. So lay your life down for that person. Would you go all the way to the end of laying your life down for one another? Right? And Jesus says, by this love, by the way that you love one another, share your resources, share your life, support one another, that the world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. See, it's not just a knowledge, it's a demonstration in our midst, in a watching world, that when we demonstrate the things of God, the love that he's poured out from heaven into our lives, that's when the world goes, oh, they're different. Right? What is this love? Why do you gather and belly laugh together? As if you've known each other forever. Why do you weep and mourn together? One of the most beautiful pictures that I get to see of our church is actually when we're doing celebrations of life, funerals, and you see the life groups start pouring in. And you see the people of this church start pouring in. And the family is mixed with the life group. And all of a sudden, the people who might not be believers or a part of a local church, they're going, who are these people? They know you better than we do, and I'm your daughter. Right? It's this deep love for one another that we get to see in the highs and the lows. And so I want to highlight for us that it's a demonstration of God's love in our midst that the world will know. And we'll see that as we jump into the Word. We're going to jump into Luke chapter 9, and we're going to see that it's a demonstration of God's love. It's a demonstration of his kingdom. It's a demonstration in our midst that we can share our faith effectively. And as I'm wrestling through the text this week, and not only Luke chapter 9, but Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 6, this is this account of when Jesus draws the apostles to himself, and he gives them this crazy amount of authority that you or I, we wouldn't even know what to do with, and he sends them and he says, here, go do some of these things. And Jesus is allowing his love, his mercy, his grace, and his power demonstrated through a watching world. And all I could tell was that effectiveness is a result of demonstration. You don't believe there's a transformed life? Let me show you. In all humility, come take a look at the things that have changed in me. Come take a look at the freedom that he's brought me. Come take a look at what it means to pray for someone and watch the freedom come. And so in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 1, this is what the author Luke records. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Pretty easy marching orders, right? Just get rid of the demons, heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom. Pretty easy, guys. Let's go. He told them, also take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. And if people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and they went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. And we go, oh, come on. What does this actually mean for us today? I don't know. The Bible's pretty clear that when we proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, things happen. Heaven meets earth. Right? And what is the kingdom? What is the good news of the kingdom, right? We talk a lot about Jesus. We talk a lot about God. We talk a lot about Holy Spirit and the Father and the Bible, but rarely does the church actually talk about and unpack the kingdom of God. Well, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is. It's heaven coming on earth. Jesus was the fullness of God who was pleased to dwell within him. And so Jesus is saying, distribute my kingdom here on earth and watch what will happen. Talk about sharing your faith effectively, right? If you see someone that's a little tormented and demonic, you go, get out of there, and all of a sudden they're just totally different. Was that effective? I think it'd freak all of us out, right? We'd be like, whoa, what just happened? Jesus just walked into the room, right? And so when Jesus gives them authority, he's not giving them authority to go do tricks, to just get people to gather in a crowd. He's saying the kingdom of God is among you. Heaven has come to earth. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, Father, may your kingdom come and your will be done on what? On earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that and we go, oh, what a sweet prayer. Do we actually want God's kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven? Because you better watch out. It gets pretty crazy. And when it does, people find freedom. People experience the goodness of God. People declare him as Lord from all of these backgrounds that you would say, no, they're done, they're stuck, they're burned out, they're hopeless. And they say, no, I've got a second life in Jesus' name. Right? When the kingdom of God comes, it's his perfection. It's the way that it was meant to be in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And it's the way that it will be when his new creation comes and the end of Revelation. We're just caught in the middle. And so when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we're praying for his throne room to rest on earth. We're praying for his presence to come in our midst, where we're just caught up in worshiping him. We're caught up in his goodness, where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more hurt, pain, death, sin, hell. We're caught up in him. So how many of us want the kingdom to come? How many of us want his glory to come? And so sharing Jesus is about the good news of the kingdom of God. Because if we share just a little bit better life with somebody than they already have, what purpose is that? Right? You can get all of that online on YouTube videos and masterclasses for free. Yet when we share that the kingdom has come in their midst, that Paul puts it in Romans, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit are theirs to be had in Christ Jesus as they repent, as they leave their way and they receive him, that they can have the fullness of God dwelling within them by his Holy Spirit, and they can live lives of purpose. They can be transformed. The kingdom of God is theirs to be had in Jesus. And is that what we're sharing? Because Jesus sent them out to proclaim the kingdom, to say the kingdom is here, Greater Portland. The kingdom is in your midst. You just have to turn from your ways and return to Jesus the way that it was always meant to be. that hole in your heart, that deep desire that you have, that you fill with all of these things of earth, all of these material things, all of these things that aren't bad in themselves, but when they try to take the hole in your heart that is for God alone, you're going to be sadly mistaken. But the kingdom has come. And we're seeing more and more that God's Spirit is doing an amazing work in and through our body that is bringing freedom to people that have been in bondage for 30 years. But in Jesus' name, they're free. People who have lived in these broken relationships and marriages that just want to be well are finding freedom in Jesus' name. People are coming and finding that when they eat and taste of the bread of heaven, he fills them to full measure. And all of these things sound supernatural. They sound super heavenly. Well, that's what happens when we pray for the kingdom of God, because heaven comes here on earth. Because we receive the very things that Jesus has come to give us. And so, I just want to point us back to how God continues to use his redemptive story to teach us what it's like to be a part of his kingdom. And so in Joshua chapter 1, this is starting in verse 2, but also into verses 5 and 6. This is a picture of Joshua with the Israelites, close to 1 million Israelites, and they're standing looking into what we all know as the promised land, modern day Israel, and they're standing at the Jordan River. A large river at the time, and they have all of their wilderness wandering and their ancestors all behind them. They're standing at the Jordan, and they're looking into the promised land. I want to paint the picture for you and I. That's like us looking into Greater Portland, saying, Jesus, we want to take this land. We want to see your gospel transform this region, and we're standing at this river. The disciples standing with Jesus gathered around him as he's about to commission them. All authority that I'm giving you, you go out and proclaim the kingdom, right? We're all standing at this river like the starting line. And this is what the Lord tells Joshua in this moment with all of Israel behind him. In verse chapter 2, or in verse chapter 1, or chapter 1, verse 2, Kenan, he tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Well, we get that. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. And in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Doesn't it sound similar to the commission that Jesus is giving his disciples in Luke chapter 9? The kingdom of God is what you're to proclaim. The demons will be driven out, the sicknesses will be healed, and you go in power, and everything will be done in your midst. And all of the promised land, was it empty? Was it open? Was it just theirs for the taking? A few chapters later, they're encountering Jericho. And how did they handle Jericho? Did they put a big battle plan and a strategy together to take over Jericho? No, they walked around the walls singing and proclaiming and asking God by a big shout on that final lap, and all of the walls come down. It's God's power and demonstration through his people of faithfulness that the whole world starts running. Not our coworkers, but spiritually, the enemy starts running. Not our family, but spiritually, the enemy starts running. When we come in faithfulness, when we cross that river and we're strong and courageous in Jesus' name, and we step into the people's lives and we say, we're bringing in, we're ushering in the kingdom of God, because we're remaining, abiding, we're prayerful, we're actually living this life that Jesus calls us to be. We're his apprentices, we're his followers, we're stepping into these areas in our life, and we're actually bringing the kingdom in our midst. Walls start crumbling down. Walls start falling down. Relational walls, tense walls, all of these things that people have built up to keep us away, God starts breaking them down, because he's after their heart. He loves them, and he wants to draw them into himself. So we look at Israel now today, and Jesus is doing the same thing in the first century, right? There's still squatters in the community. There were the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Gideonites, all these Girgashites, all these ites, and today it's just the Buxtonites and the Sebagoites and the Windhamites, right? Like, We just got to drive them out. I'm sorry if you're from there. I said something about Cape Elizabeth last week, and I had all of you from Cape Elizabeth, all seven of you, come up to me and be like, "What do you have a problem with Cape Elizabeth?" Right? So as I rise in the morning and I'm getting welled up and I'm excited for the kingdom of God to come, I'm looking into the land of Buxton. I'm saying, not today, Buxtonites, right? We're taking you for the kingdom. All right, so if you're here from Buxton, praise God, it's because of the prayerfulness of all those in Gorham, right? But for us, are we waking up every morning saying, we're no longer going to let you squat in our land here in Greater Portland? Greater Portland needs to know Jesus, and his kingdom is breaking in, and are we going to usher in his kingdom wherever we go? But here's the deal with the kingdom. All of us, right? All of us love our freedom and our liberty, right? We all love the ability to choose. We're seeing how it's playing out all through the culture today. Well, my truth, my choice. We get to do these things, and the merchandisers are coming into the department stores. They're doing all, right? Everybody wants to choose, and we have the freedom to choose. But when we're part of a kingdom, do we have the freedom to choose any longer? No, because we're under the reign and rule of a king. We love the democracy, but guess what? In Jesus' kingdom, there is no democracy. There's a king, there's an authority, and there's a reign, and there's a rule. And how many of us are actually willing to surrender and submit to his kingship in our lives? Right? We don't just print Jesus is Lord for vanity on t-shirts. No, he's Lord of my life now. I declare him as king. And these disciples walked from his presence. Joshua walked across the Jordan. We get commissioned into this world under a rule and a reign of Jesus Christ. And if we try to do any power, any prayer, any abiding outside of his kingdom, outside of his reign and rule in our lives, just like apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's all or nothing. It's this surrender. And so we'll see in Luke chapter 10, even Jesus not only brings the 12, right? We say, well, that must have just been for the 12 disciples. They get all the power and the authority, and we get to be absolved from it. Well, in the next chapter, Jesus is recorded bringing and appointing 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And this is what he told them. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So the 12 turned into 72. Jesus just keeps sending them. He keeps multiplying. And he says, go out there. There's going to be threats. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be wolves with teeth coming at you. But in my name, under my kingdom, and under my rule and reign, you will be fine. And why? Because the harvest is plentiful. And might I say today that in Greater Portland, the harvest has never been more plentiful. There are people craving for a transcendent relationship with something that is not part of this world. They are broken and busted up, and they no longer believe in the man-made system that all of us have come to believe in because we think we're going to solve our own problems. This utopian design, this idea that we can craft and create our own peace, hope, and joy, how's it working? We have generations raising up looking and craving for something transcendent beyond themselves, and where are they finding it? Unfortunately, it's not always in Jesus. They find it in other avenues. That'll tell you, it's transcendent. It's just not of Jesus' name. And they're all twisted up, and they're busted up, and they're all tied up, and they're harassed, and they're helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And who, just like last week, who is going to point them to the shepherd? The sheep. Are we going to go out into the harvest that's ready for the harvesters? And are we going to labor? Labor, right? Everyone knows Kenan's from the farm country, right? But harvest is not this pretty rose picking deal, right? Everyone like loves picking berries here in Maine, right? They pick the raspberries and they fill their little bucket like blueberries for Sal, right? They're picking and it's cute and they're eating a couple. If you've ever been in a harvest is messy. Harvest is digging and unearthing, and there's potatoes coming across the conveyor belt, and you don't get your hand stuck in there because you might lose it, right? It's this labor-intensive deal. We have to bring the crop in before the end of the season comes. And are we laboring on behalf of Jesus? Are we laborers? Are we willing laborers because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And it requires a full surrender. Sharing Jesus with others requires a full surrender. Because we say, you're our master, you're our Lord, you're our King. I'm going to be faithful with what you give us, who you put in front of me, and I'm just going to share him with them. I'm going to share you, Jesus, with those that are close to me. I'm going to share what you've done in my life, right? And so for many of us, we look at our lives and we're trying to take inventory and we're saying, man, what kind of transformation have I had? What kind of life do I live that's apart from the world? What is Jesus doing in me that is different than what people are experiencing here in this world, right? Because many of us, including myself at times, right? We're saying, oh, you got to come check this thing out. You got to come check this church thing out. It's incredible. And they're like, well, what's it doing for you? And you're like, it's taking up my Sunday morning, right? It's a fun thing to be a part of. It's amazing. It's just like when we sign up for like a new gym that comes to town. We're like, man, you got to check this out. You should see the TVs. The coaches are incredible. Like they got a concession stand. The ellipticals are amazing. And they're going, well, what's it done for you? How's your cholesterol? You sure you've been at the gym? Does it? Well, no, I don't do it, right? But I go, I check it out. The facilities are unbelievable. There's a turf soccer field in this place. Oh, they have a smoke show on the stage, and it's amazing. There's nothing like it. But what about if we were to walk up and we say, I made a decision in my life to live differently. And my entire life has changed, and this local gym has helped me out. I made a decision. Something happened to me personally that got me to the end of myself, and I said, I need to make a change. And I just found this local church, and it's helped me accelerate in that lifestyle. I found this local gym. It's helped me accelerate in that lifestyle. Well, what if it became normal in Greater Portland for people to say, I began following Jesus, he changed everything in me, and this local church helped me meet him? When people meet Jesus, it is so far beyond any brand, 501c3, local church, or facility. When they meet the person and the presence and the power of Jesus, his word becomes alive off the pages, and we start recognizing that this is for me here and now, your life begins to change. So how about you? Are you experiencing the transformative power of Jesus? Are you in the game? Are you in the stands? That the invitation is to get in the game. The invitation is to be able to share your faith and share it effectively, but we have to be in the game. We have to be surrendered to him. And Paul, or in Acts, sorry, not Paul, Luke. In Acts, the same author of the Gospel of Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. This is Jesus' command to his disciples, right? He's been crucified. He's risen from the grave. He's met them all. Their minds are blown. And these are the command. This is the command for him, right? He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gift that I've been telling you all about. The one who's going to come, encourage you, to send you, to equip you, to give you the words. And then this is what they ask. This is what the disciples said. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Looking back to Joshua crossing the river, looking to the establishment of the kingdom of Israel in modern day, in the nation that we see now, establishing not only the city of David, but eventually the temple where God dwelt among his people, right? Are you going to reestablish that, Jesus? I imagine Jesus almost wants to say, I already have. As I look at you 12, as I look at what's going to happen, as I look at what's happening in Greater Portland, as I look at all the people who over the centuries will carry this mission, I'm establishing my kingdom. It's just not of this earth any longer. It's a kingdom of the heart. Right? And so Jesus hears his disciples, are you going to establish, this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, even Buxton. Don't miss this, that sharing Jesus effectively is a result of receiving his Holy Spirit. He tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. And how many of us have actually sat in a posture first of receiving before the posture of doing? Many of us want to run around and do, earn for the kingdom of God, and yet Jesus is saying, receive, 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 be filled, be overcome, be overwhelmed by my Spirit. Not by strength, nor by might, but by my Spirit. Freely you have received, so freely give. We are meant to be in a posture of receiving and then giving. Right? We don't come with this arrogance to say, oh, you got to have what I got. It's so good. I do all these things. I go to church. I go to small group. I'm an accountability group. I even sneak into the women's ministry on Thursday morning because it's really good teaching, right? We try to do all these things. All we can tell people, again, our family members, our coworkers, our neighbors, our community members, the people that sit across the bleachers at the soccer game, the people that are across the tracks in our community, all we can offer them is what we've received. So have you received Jesus this morning? Have you received the free gift of grace? Have you received, like George did, the mercy, the forgiveness, the Father again, restored back to his true identity as a son? Receive this morning him and then go share him. And again, there's five areas that if anyone here is listening to our podcast recently, we have a podcast, believe it or not. If you want a wild ride on Fridays, you can tune in, listen to the podcast. But Kurt shared these five kind of environments when it comes to sharing Jesus this past week on our 100th episode, right? And these five environments I've mentioned throughout this sermon, but I think it's important for us to recognize that Jesus is calling us to share him in all of these environments, across the table, across the fence, across the cubicle, I inserted, across the bleachers where we recreate, and across the tracks. And maybe there's an area that you have an affinity for, that you know somebody that's maybe across that cubicle, that you've developed this relationship and you've been sharing what's happening in your life and you feel like you can just share that, oh man, if you just were to walk with Jesus and get to know Jesus, I can help you do that, right? That's what happened to me. I had a general manager in the company I worked for show up in my hotel room at 5 a.m. and said, we're talking about Jesus this morning. And I'm like, we got a project. He goes, that'll take care of itself. Let's talk Jesus, right? Maybe there's somebody in your life that's across the bleachers. Maybe it's a mom or a dad who's struggling. They've got kids and they don't know which way is up, and you just kind of slide down the bleachers while you're watching the game and just chat about the hope that you found in Jesus. Maybe you're going across the tracks and you're handing out good news and good works in Jesus' name. You're meeting people who are broken and destitute that are only a decision away from you, right? And we're only a decision away from them. How can we lift you up in Jesus' name? Or maybe you got to talk to your kids about Jesus over the dinner table. Imagine if we as parents just did that. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about what he's doing in our life. Let's bring him center. Let's nudge him up to the table. Where are we sharing him with others in our life? And so today we're going to do a bit of an exercise. If you got a Connect card, anybody get a Connect card on their way in this morning? If you have those Connect cards, you can hold them up. There's pens in the seat back in front of you. If you don't have one, that's okay. You can fill one out. We have this thing here at East Point called Pray for One. And we're going to pray for one person. You and I are going to pray for one person this week. Maybe you've been praying for somebody for a decade, maybe for years, maybe for a few months. Maybe today is when you start. And we're going to pray for one. And then we're going to connect with them. And we're going to share with them. And I don't want to put a timeline on it because that's really artificial. But when we pray for them, maybe God brings that very person into your space this week. And maybe, just maybe, that's an opportunity where he's saying, I brought them. Now proclaim the kingdom of God. Share with them who you found in me. Right? So we're going to pray for one. We're going to connect with one. We're going to share with one. And then we're going to do it again. right? That if we're on mission to make disciples of Jesus who share him with others, that's our call. That's our move. We start engaging people all around us in the everyday and the ordinary, sharing the gospel, the good news of Jesus with them every chance we can. Don't be weird, as Scott would always say. Don't be weird. Just share what he's doing in your life. All I can offer you is what I've received freely, right? And so today, if you have those Connect cards, I'm going to invite you during the worship set, just as a sign, we've done this, we did this a couple summers ago, I believe, just fill that Connect card up and just set it right here on the platform. Just lay it down. Lay them at the altar to say, God, I'm setting them before you, and I'm committing to pray for them this week. I'm committing to connect with them if you bring them in my midst. So during the worship set, just bring those forward. I'm going to fill one out. I'm going to lay one down myself because I want to see Jesus transform Rick's life this summer. It's one person in my life that I'm going to be praying for. But to do it, we have to have him. We have to have Jesus. We have to recognize that it's only by his power, by his spirit, by his name that we can do any of this. And so as we gather around the communion table together, we take communion knowing that we have to receive Jesus first before we can share him with other people. So as you open your communion cup, just recognize that it's his body that was broken for you and I, so that we might be restored to him and on mission for him. We take the bread together. And the cup of the new covenant, that no longer the kingdom of Israel will reign on earth, but the kingdom of God will reign among you, among me, among the Gentiles, the Jews, the Scythians, no matter who it is, that we get to come under one name, and it's Jesus' name alone. We take the cup. So as you fill out those Connect cards, I'm going to pray for us, lead you into a time of worship, and then during the worship song, you can just set those cards right across this table, and we'll commit this platform, and we'll commit to praying with you this week for those very people. So let me pray. Father, we thank you just for the opportunity to open your word, an opportunity to see the invitation that you have for us, Jesus, that it doesn't stop with the 12, the 72, it didn't stop with Israel, it continued on, and so every person here with a beating heart, Jesus, you have a mission for them. But Father, you know what that is. You know the specifics of that. And so would you remind us in this moment, would you bring it fully to the front of our minds who we are to reach in your name? Help us to understand what it means to pray for them, what it means to come to you on their behalf. And I thank you for those that are in this room that were pray for ones on a card at one point, but now they're sitting here as worshipers of you, Jesus. So many stories of your hand moving in Greater Portland, drawing people to yourself through these people in this gathering at East Point and all the other churches throughout the region. Father, would you continue to do what only you can do, and may we be willing, surrendered vessels for your work here, proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come and that there's freedom in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you receive our worship in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.